Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, to our life. As we approach thy word now, Father, take these words of yours, O God, and break it down, Father, to us. And let us have a glimpse, Father, of the love of Christ Jesus, the great gospel love of our God that thou hast given us, Lord, this life in Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing. We ask for your blessing now, Lord. May we have an ear to hear. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Psalms 89, and read from verse 19 to 29. Then thou speakest in vision to the Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exalt upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and pluck them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne has the days of heaven. The verse that I want to pick up is verse 20. I found David my servant, and my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, here we have the anointed oil. We have today, of course, preachers around the world claiming to be anointed of God, anointed of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that every one of us who are born of God, well, who is born again of the Spirit of, and the Word of God, we all have an anointing. We all have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe if you have go forward and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the anointing of the Spirit on you. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you is different from this anointed oil that is written here, has sung by the psalmist concerning David, my servant, whom of course is referring to also prophetically upon the Lord Jesus Christ. With my holy oil have I anointed him. So this is a special kind of anointing oil. It is not just anointing or the baptism of the Holy Spirit you have upon you. It's anointing that serves a certain purpose in the life of the one who is anointed. To understand that, now let's go to Psalms, to the book of Exodus, chapter 30. Exodus 30, verse 22 to 25. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassels 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil a hin. And thou shalt make an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Now, this is a special oil that the Lord formulated out of spices compounded with the olive oil And this is only to be used for the anointing of the priest. So it is a special oil. And it's a sacred oil, not to be misused, not to be anointed for anybody, except for the priest. So when we read this, we understand that nobody is to meddle with this oil. It is an oil or an anointing which the Holy Spirit of God specially formulated as an anointing upon ministers. And you know and I know we believe this, that those who are called to the ministry will have this anointing of God. But not everybody in this ministry, in this end time, really have this ministry or have this anointing oil or specially called of God for the ministry or anointed of God into the fivefold ministry at all. So now what can this oil do? Now many people that have the creamy oil, but as I said, not the kind of oil that God does, and they go into a zeal, they have a zealousness for the work of God. But do they have the right kind of anointing that brings them to the right kind of zeal for God? Let us go to John 2. John chapter 2 verse 17. And his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. And then of course you find also in the book of Psalm 69 verse 9. Now if you have the right kind of zeal, now as you know that we read in Psalm 39 verse 20 about David the servant, whom the Lord have anointed, especially of course, prophesy of Christ, the one who is to sit upon the throne of David. And so we see here in John chapter 2 that it's when Jesus went to the temple. Oh, he saw the house of God was really in a mess, or the temple of God was a mess. Because of all the selling, the buying and the selling. So you know what he did to them? As we read, of course, in the first few verses, verse 13 onwards, in chapter 2 of John, that Jesus, of course, made skirts of coats and drove out all in the temple that sold sheep and oxen and the money changers and overthrew the table. And he said, of course, in verse 17, which, of course, quoting from Psalm 69, verse 9, in the psalmist songs, prophetically spoken of or poetically spoken of, Christ Jesus, the zeal of thy house, the zeal of my father's house has eaten me up. Now how many of us look into the house of God even today? The house of God, we are the house of God. That you see things were not right and you pray for it. And I would say the same. The zeal of the house of God has eaten me up. Not only in this fellowship, but in other churches that I've been. Things were not right. All the chaos and the confusion. You will eat me up. Any ministers of God who see the condition that exists today will hate those men. You want to just get rid of all this foul spirit that is going around eating up the life of people, making the people religious, making the people having a form of godliness, religiousness, having a spirit of religiousness, coming to church and coming to the house of the Lord, but their hearts are far away from God. That's what the Pharisees are. That's what the Sadducees are. Jesus said they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. To do that which is right. Your young people here today, remember this, I was young once, but remember one thing, time catches up with you very fast. Once you were 12 years old, you got your identity card. Then you become a teen, or late teens. And then you see that you know a lot of things because you are in high school and then you are in college. Know a whole lot of things. Perhaps you know more than your parents today, because knowledge today has more increased than in our time. Because after all, we know nothing about computers. Where have you know a whole lot about computer, Nintendo, and all this new handphone stuff? What you can do with it. The trick you can play with it. So you know a lot about technology. But you know, don't let this knowledge get into your head and kill you. And suffocate your brain. Because if you don't fill your brain with the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the knowledge of God's Word, then what is the knowledge of the world? Because after all this academic knowledge is of the devil. That's what it takes you away from God. See, how many scientists in this world believe in God? How many? Not many. Very few. Because of knowledge, they deny Christ, and they have the knowledge, they think that they know the answer to how the world speaks. They have the answer for everything. Men like Ivan Penning criticize Christ and criticize the Bible. Until God show him his foolishness. And show him what he had written in the Word. When he discovered Bible numerics in it, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for the grace of God, that the man who sat him with him in the train told him, he says, why don't you give yourself? The old critic has to look into the Bible and check it out before you start criticizing. Because you know one thing, scientists, professors, great men, they think that they're very intelligent, and all they have is knowledge of this world. Great president in the world, great prime ministers in the world. We have President Bush, America, a man who's a warrior, or out to fight. The man that denied Christ. What was the article that was reported recently? Went to Japan, went to the Shinto temple, and bowed down to that idol, went to a mosque, and prayed with the Muslim. You know, the God of Islam is not our God. God is not our, it's not a God of Abraham. Because the Allah is a piece of stone. Like it or not. It's not the same. They may claim Abraham. But the God of Israel is God Yahweh, not Allah. I defer with that for what they believe. If our God is true, if we believe in the God of Abraham, then we know. And if you want to know what Abraham's God is like, then we need to know Abraham's faith. So let's go to Leviticus 10 and see what happened here. Leviticus chapter 10 verse 1 to 2. You know, I want to encourage you young people when you come to church. Listen to me now. You take a Bible with you. Bring it here with you. And when the sermon is preached, turn to it. In this way, you keep you awake. And you learn. And that's what happened when I was in India. You know, they are very poor. Some of them don't even have a Bible. They share with somebody else sitting next to us. But they have a piece of paper or a notebook. And they write down everything they hear. Because they are all ears to hear and learn. And they could sit there for days in convention to learn. And they could hear, they could be there for hours. Morning, noon and night. It won't be a 5-day convention, whatever. And there, you know what? Prayer meeting, every week or every month. They pray the whole day. Or it's all pretty good, they have a lot of time. But we don't have, that's the trouble. We don't have because we don't have it, because we don't want it. There's too much care of this world anyway, So we don't have it. And you are right. You don't have it. But you want it, you have it. And to begin with, it's fellowship, worship, and just come and sit down and pay all ears to the word of God. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And they went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Here you have this priest, the son of Aaron. They are zealous to minister to the Lord, but they were out of line. They offered fire they were not supposed to be. And a lot of people are just like an anthem. Doing God a service without doing God's will. Out of line. Completely out of line. Well, sometimes people say, well, you know, but these people are not real ministers. Well, well, it's cool. Maybe they are real ministers. But right here in Singapore, we have ministers and time magic. Call them some ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know one thing? The many of them are offering strange fire before God. Coming forward and coming forward with strange revelations that don't even have the word of God at all. But a bunch of courts of program is sort of proof. The rapture is gone. Millennium's here. Communion's no longer to be taken and foot washing no longer to be done. Because Jesus Christ has come back. No, Jesus hasn't come back yet. But the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. His word has returned back to us. That don't mean that Jesus Christ has come back. Because when we say Jesus Christ has come back, he's come back to reign and to rule this earth. Is he ruling the earth now? They're offering things far and they do not know it. And that's what I said. They're going to stand in judgment day for what they speak. For every word they utter. Strange fire they get to offer God. Strange fire. No wonder God hates that. Because in those days under the law, they would God judge them right away. But not grace in this hour of time, you know. God didn't judge these people right away. That's why in the day of Jesus, when he came, grace came. Remember? The law and the prophet were unto John. And yet when the first and seventh sinners God came to Jesus Christ. Oh. To make me blind. Jesus, you're already blind. Like some people say, God's will smite me right now. You know what? God is not a showman, you know. A dramatist, something like that. For the because you say, God is will smite me this, or bring me blind right now. There are a lot of preachers in the world there to talk like that. They say, if I whatever I preach is not the true word of God, let God strike me right now. You think God will do that? No. Because this is crazy. No, you are not under the law. God is full of mercy for men to repent. But every word we utter, we have to give an account for it. So what kind of a oil do true ministers have, or any of us have here, the kind of oil? Anyway, you're anointed with the Spirit. If you have a zeal of God, it can make you do the right thing. To be in the proper order in the house of God. But when, remember, you are holy priesthood, you got to offer thanks, Father, heard up and I behold you, your commander God's judgment. But what kind of zeal if we have? What supposed way supposed to take us to? You take us to the right way. For Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 3. John the Baptist says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. To carry the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. The way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is a straight way, not a crooked way. The way of the Lord, we have to make the path straight. And that's what it's supposed to be. If any time we, you know, that's why sometimes if we have the zeal of God, even if we have, because we have the right kind of oil to give us, the right kind of zeal to bring us the right kind of way, it will have to be a straight way. And all this that we're walking has to be according to the Word of God. John the Baptist, while he was anointed with God, Spirit, the Spirit of God, it was a special anointing that was given to him, anointed upon him, called as one to prepare the way of the Lord. And look at his zeal. Who went out there to make a path straight for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and take a little bride. A people that are prepared by John. They were the one that would be hearing the word of God. You know, John had all the enemies that came against him and the Pharisees that spoke against him. But the zeal of John, it's so far up, and he stayed, he stood firm upon the word of truth, upon the very spirit that he was anointed with. That's the way of God, not the way of man. John 1, 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him back and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and he said unto them, what should this be? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where do you dwell? He said unto them, come and see. They came and they saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, what it was about 10 hours. Where dwellest thou? Where now? Just let me traumatize that a little bit. Jesus, Rabbi, where do you live? Where do you live? Where do you dwell? Where is your abode? Come and see. Why did Jesus dwell? Where does Jesus live? Why is the abode the dwelling place of Jesus Christ? You ask someone, where do you dwell? Where do you fellowship? Where is your place? Where do you often stay in? Oh, in such and such a church. Such and such a group. Huh? We will momentarily there, won't we? Rabbi, what do you dwell? Where is your abode? Come and see. What did Jesus dwell? In the Word of God. Yeah. Where do you dwell?
If you have the anointing of God, what do you dwell in? Where is your home? Where is your homeland? The Word of God. If you have the anointing of God, you have the zeal, you come to the house of the Lord, and that's where the Word of God is, you stay in the Word of God. That's your dwelling place. That's where I dwell. That's where we should dwell in. Not some group or some man's teaching. Not some man's word. But the Word of God. The Logos is where we dwell in. The very revelation of God's Word is where we are feeding in. Oh. How do we go about that? Let's take a look into history. Take a look at the father of our faith. Abraham. Abraham. Genesis 5:15. Abraham. Oh, Abraham. Oh, my. You know one thing? Without Abraham, I don't know where history starts. As far as the gospel is concerned. It didn't start with Moses. It started with Abraham. So right? Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh my. I am thy exceeding great reward. Well, who was Abraham? Well, Abraham, he was from the lineage of Shem. Now after the flood, you know, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, they were already having serpentine nature after all the crossover from the flood, and Noah married Nama, who was from, of course, King's line. Had facts to swallow to believe that it was Nama whom Noah married. But you know to say, whether anybody believed it or not, the very fact remains. Noah was a pure sheep, and the woman he married wasn't pure, of course. Whether she was a hybrid or a pure serpent seed does not anyway matter. In so much that we have the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, they were all possessing serpentine nature. That's why we all have it today here. And the whole earth was populated. And we all came from one blood. And the blood of Noah and his wife. And to say that we don't have the serpentine nature is to deny or is to go against the fact that he's staring at us in the face. We're all born in sin. We're all born wicked. Huh? We all came into the world lying. Stealing, cheating. Carnal. Where did that nature come from? Now, the world was populated after the flood. People migrated. And has God looked down upon this earth? Sure. You know, just imagine, the Bible says there were giants those days before the flood and after the flood. Where they get off the giantesses, the physical size, where did they come from? They come from the serpent blood. And the people of the earth, after the flood, were just as wicked too. Wickedness began to, sins began to heap upon the people again. It's time the people go back to worshipping idols. And as God looked down upon the earth to try to get a man to bring about the gospel, to bring about the seed of the woman, they looked upon a man called Abram. And now, you know, he was in the land of Mesopotamian basin. The wood of Kaidi. Now the family of Abraham, they're all pagans. Pagans. They all were all pagans. Worship idols, make of clay, make of stone, make of wood. And God looked down upon Abraham. Now, we all know God knows the heart of man. And I believe right there in this whole vast land of the Mesopotamian basin, the city of Ur of Kadesh, a bustling city, people running to and fro with the business, and very religious people also worshiping all the kinds of gods and idols and deities they have. But here was a man, Abraham. You know, God looks down upon the heart of man. You know, the deep, calling unto the deep. And then, when the deep calls unto the deep, there comes a gentle stirring upon the waters of deep. The Spirit of God, stirring up the spirit of Abraham. And then one day God spoke to him in a vision and called Abraham to come out of his land to a land that he promised him. You know, when God appeared to Abraham and spoke to him, and I don't necessarily believe to say that God first time he appeared to Abraham in the form of a theophany, necessarily, but spoke to him and stirred up his spirit and began to speak to him, and then in a voice, a little voice, then in an audible voice. And Abraham could believe God. And God began to become very real to him, and then God appeared to him, and now in the vision, God said this to Abraham, "Fear not." You know, when God looked at Abraham, when he was able to believe God every step of the way, when he comes to a time when he was a little bit worried, a little bit upset, fearful, whatever it is, for some reason, and anxious, the Lord appeared to him and says, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I like that. I am the exceeding great reward. You know what a reward is? A reward is something that you earn, isn't it? Huh? So, the mother and father, young people, in school, you do well, you get 8 A's, 10 A's. My. I give you a first class trip on Singapore Airlines around the world for 30 days. Something like that. You know? That's a reward. But you know? Here, what did Abraham earn? What did Abraham do to earn a reward? Nothing. God said, "I am your exceeding great reward. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your reward." God is not giving Abraham reward, but "I am your reward." And here's the reward. There comes a lot of rewards. Because you talk about the giver and not the gift. Because, oh, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking tongues, prophecy, miracles, healings, and gifts of this and gifts of that. Those are gifts, but we're talking about the gift. With the gift comes to the giver. I mean, with the giver comes the gift. "I, Abraham, I am your exceeding
exceeding great reward. Not just a reward, I am your exceeding great. It covers all things. Because I'm Yahweh. I'm self-sufficient. I am that I am. I contain all things. Nothing is impossible with me. Is there anything too hard for me to do, Abraham? So I am your sin reward. You are nothing, Abraham. You are nothing out of me. And I give myself to you. You know, we know the Bible says that man don't seek after God. God seek after man. Oh my. God feels, it seems that God feels so lonely. He wants a companion. And he's so desperate for a companion. He says, Abraham, I give myself to you. Oh. And when God appeared to Abraham in a vision, he came in the form of Theophany. And who is that speaking? The Word of God speaking. The very Word that was incarnate and walked on 2 feet almost 2,000 years ago. And Jesus Christ is our reward. He gives himself to us. I am your eternal reward. I give myself to you. Well, think about it. Did we earn it? Did we at least so good a man, so good a woman? Did he do anything to earn him? Or because I'm such a good person? Hey, none of us good. Only God's good. Jesus said that. Jesus even said that he's good, you know. So why does he call me good? Only one is good, God is good. Huh? So do we earn anything? No, we earn nothing. We don't have anything, we didn't do anything to earn it. Just as I am. We come to God just as we are. He's our reward. He's just giving himself to us. If he gave ourselves, himself to us, how do we respond? How do we react to him? How do we react to him? You know, Abraham, he believed God every step of the way. God said it, he believed it. God said it, he believed it. And you know what God did? He imputed upon him righteousness. And God didn't regret it. And because Abraham believed, he rewarded because God is the great reward. He kept on giving to him. And bless Abraham. Every step you take on this land, Abraham, I'll give it to you. Because I'm your God. I'm your creator. I'm your reward. Oh God, you know, I'm an old man now. I don't have any seed. So I can give my inheritance to. I don't have any heir. But God promised to him, you will have. Abraham, now I want you to look up there in the sky. What you to see? Can you count those stars up there? Can you count them? No, I can count them. Now, try to count the sand on the sea. What do you see? Count the sand on the seesaw, you know? Count how did you tell Abraham? But you can't, no. If you can't, then I tell you what. Just like the star, you cannot count. Just as the sand of the sea or seashore, you can count them. And now make your father many nations. Hey, what lies in this mystery here? Let me tell you this mystery here. The stars in the heaven. Who they are talking about? You think Israel? Not Israel. That's the born again children of the living God. The sand. On the seashore, who they represent? They represent Israel. Abraham, the father of many nations, was given a promise. And that promise, one is heaven, word, one is earthward. One is heavenly, one is earthly. Huh? Have you ever considered that? For you are the stars. Every one of us, we are the stars. We are placed up there in heaven. Everywhere we have a position. Abraham was the father of many nations. understand as fish as you can, so shall your seed be. The sand is earthly. Israel, well, they were the children of God, or the children of Abraham, by the flesh. The stars in heaven, they're the children of Abraham by the promise. Do you understand? Abraham! I'll make you father of many nations. Oh, God speaks so mysteriously, you know. Abraham was just wanting to have an heir. And you shall have it, Abraham. I promise you, and I give you more than just that. You shall be father of many nations. Not one only. Not the children of Israel. Not the nation of Israel only. But many nations. Indian nation. Chinese nation. Filipino nation. Huh? African nation. Cambodian. Thai. Australian. Canadian. Whatever you are, the father of many nations. Oh, my. When you see the life of Abraham, he was a person of faith. He was a friend of God, man of righteousness, all because of one thing. He was obedient. If we only can be obedient in simple things, in simple ways, be obedient. Can we? The Bible said, you know, be still and know that I'm God. We care so much about this life, the turmoil we have, we face. We're never still in this life. We always moving around, running around, taking off with so much burden and cares, not knowing how to be still and know God is God. So if we have faith, remember, look at Abraham. Look at his faith. God said it, he believed it. And he became a friend of God. Oh my. Just imagine. Someone comes to you and says, I give my all to you. And my, he become a friend to you, you know. And God took Abraham and said, he's my friend. Friend of God. Would you like to be a friend of God? Believe and receive God. And the last thing, because of what he believed, God says, ha, I impute upon you righteousness. Are you because you believe? What is that? Well, because I believe I get righteousness from God? Yes. Because he's your reward. He's our reward. What, do you think you heard it? Nothing. You don't do anything good that the God, that you draw attention from God, that God says, this guy is something, or this woman is somebody, that I must give myself to him. He said, no, not at all. Remember, Abraham came from a family of idol worshippers, you know. Either Abraham grew up from a child of him, might have been worshiping idols too. Many of us who are idol worshippers one time or another, ain't we? We have superstitious idol, don't we? You know, sometimes, even recently in the newspaper report about this statue principle, drawing the water with a, was it a sun? It's sad, isn't it? Why not much Jesus people will believe that Chinese astrology strictly? There's a word even somewhere that time for them to get a victim. And some of the people will go out there to the sea there and offer some prayers. You think there's any other God besides God himself? Is there any God besides Yahweh? No. When you offer all that offerings and all this superstition, you're offering to the devils, all the demons at work. That's why you see a lot of shrines on the roadside in Singapore. In India, you see so many shrines. People are building little places here. You walk 50 yards down the road, 50 meters down the road, you see a little shrine all over India. Oh. And you know, when I was in India down there, when I went up to Kuru, from Coimbatore, the road went up. Oh my, this, on the road crash, you guys to drive down this road. On the side of the road itself, just barely, you know, maybe 2 or 3 meters away from the curb, you can see this big statue, 2 or 3 of them, hideous looking deities. And the brother says, but again, look, one of them is Cain. Cain! Huh. Yeah, they call him Cain. Nimrod, and know what else they have. Some of the idols, you know, with teeth, you know, the fangs of empires. Oh, you won't believe that. But there's a God to them. You know, India is a land of darkness, superstition, idol worship, vain imagination of man to make all this to be gods. They do not know any better, of course. We understand that. But for Christians, we want to know God better. We better get to know God better. Because if you say that we have the oil, we have the zeal, we want to have the right path of God, the way straight, we need to know God better like Abraham. Abraham, when he walked the road, the path, he walked straight. He didn't turn left, or he didn't turn right. He gave a focus on his faith. Oh, I like that very much. And God gave him that great reward. You know, not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Huh. They all lost their reward. The Pharisees and Sadducees and Scribes, they lost their reward. Even the simple thing they cannot do. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Scribes, they had the Word of God. Right now? In the days of Jesus Christ, when he came, they have the book of Genesis to Malachi. Huh? The last prophet was Malachi. And for 400 years, God didn't send no prophet because Israel has been gone. And they, in their own ways, in their own thoughts, and they come up with their own systems of worship and their own interpretations of the Lord God and interpretations of the Bible. So we have Judaism. What did these people have? The Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. They are so bred on such an authority complex. Authoritative complex. They think that they know a whole lot of things. But they know nothing. You know what they told Jesus Christ? We have Abraham as our father. Huh? We have Moses. We are the prophets. What are things that we are the children of Abraham? So if you are the children of Abraham, we have everything. That's what they come to get their realized. You see, they are not dwelling in the Word. The problem was because they were not dwelling in the Word. What were they dwelling on? They were dwelling on a complex. But today, many of these Branhamites, because they believe Brother Branham, they are the children of the prophet. They are the children of the prophet. Do we have a prophet? They go around to denominational opinion. Do you believe in God's prophet? Do you believe God's prophet? Do you believe God's in a prophet? We believe in the prophet. Are the prophets? It's William, Marian, Branham. So because they believe, they think that they are children of the prophet, they make them somebody. Oh my. And it's silly. Even the literal, natural children of the prophet believe. Paul, Joseph Branham, Sarah, Rebecca. None of them have any claim to Brother Branham in any inheritance. None of it. Your inheritance. Where do you get your inheritance? Huh? Our inheritance is in Christ. His inheritance, His name is given to us. That's why He says, I give myself to you. He is our exceeding great reward. Oh, you think because you believe Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and Luke 17, 30, and Revelation 10, 7, so what? Big deal. That you are a bride because you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, because you believe in the serpent seed, and one is of the Godhead, one God. Don't deceive yourself. Many are. This is what the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes they were doing. With Abraham as our father. And Jesus said, if you know them, you didn't know him, or the Moses, or the prophets, you will know who I am. Because the greater than Solomon is here. You see, because they didn't dwell in the Word of God, because they didn't dwell in the Word of God, they could not see. Denomination is the same. If they have really dwelt in the Word of God, they would have seen what God is doing to them. No, they can't, because they are so all bound up that the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the system in a complex. We are having here for so many hundreds of years. Anglican Church exists. You know how far back? We are the Catholic Church. We are the Mother Church. And you Protestant bastards, sisters have gone out. Or brethren church have gone out. Now you are coming home to Mama. That's the way it goes. All of us, Presbyterian Church, who have been here for 50 years now, or 100 years now, 200 years now, big deal. You think God cares about how long you exist? The system exists? The Pharisees and Sadducees exist for hundreds of years. Since the last prophet came and gone. Huh? 400 years until John the Baptist came. So it doesn't matter how long they have existed. So they say they're somebody. They have all this complex of us and they know Abraham as their father, and they could interpret the law the way they interpret it. Your disciples, they wash their hands before they eat. And use Jesus as the bad example. Huh? Show them. And you heal on the Sabbath day. You know it's unlawful to work on the Sabbath day. Well, this is a heck of a complex. And when you walk down the street, you're scared. The border is scared. Because the longer the way, the broader it is, the more fair it is, the cover more space. Don't come to me on my skirt. That's the authority of the Lord. Don't touch it. Don't come near me. That's how the attitude really is today. Oh, Jesus doesn't even have a skirt. He doesn't have a skirt. And he won the marketplace. People just say he touches him, pushes him. He don't have a holier than thou attitude that the Pharisees have when he walk down with all the government, all the guy, everybody knows, oh my, here's a rabbi. Here's a Pharisees or a Sadducees or a scribe, because they dress in the way. Did Jesus dress like them to show that, hey, look, you know who I am?
Oh. Some of the ministers in the world today, in the time, you can't get to them until you come to some firewall, you know, protection. Like you're having a computer, firewall, antivirus. Next time they come up with water walls to charge out the fire or something like that. You know, you have to go through all this bureaucratic, you know, what do you call that, red tapes and blue tapes and whatever tapes before you can get to him. Do you know how that is? You know, Caiaphas, the high priest, sending his office every day long. He didn't go out there to see what Jesus had to say, but no, he sat down there, he got all the information coming in to him from the Pharisees and Sadducees and whatever is coming to his office. All his agents have gone out there to listen and collect all the information. He stood there, disciple, and then one day he got Jesus Christ up. Whoa! How could you do that? And he said his own cloth that he's a great man of purity and holiness. Oh my. Just imagine, I just cannot see how people are so deceived. When you have a complex, you have a problem. You hearing me? When you have a higher complex, authority complex, whatever, you have a problem. If you cannot follow the pride and listen and learn, then you have a problem. The Pharisees, just like that, you know what? They feel that you know who I am. When I whistle, heaven whistle. They have the attitude of, whatever I do on earth, you know what Jesus said? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's just like that, you know? Some people think that they have authority for the Pharisees and Sadducees. It's good. When I sing, heaven sing. When I whistle, heaven whistle. Oh my. They think God will go and do their bidding. Don't have that idea. We have a lot of people in this end time that say just like that. I will close it for now here and continue when I come back next week. Next 2 weeks, I go further down concerning the friend of God, Abraham. Take a look closer at Abraham in his life, and I believe we try to emulate like him and be like him. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, your grace, your goodness, we praise you, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness to our life again. May the word spoken, Father, be not too harsh, Father, but the correction needs to become upon our life, O Lord, to walk the way of Christ. And if you've given us your spirit, let us therefore, Lord, have the right zeal. Let our spirit, O God, be subjected unto thy word, Lord, and walk in the way that you want us to walk. Making the path straight, Father, and our lives straightened up, walking in the light of the Lord that's given to us in this last day. We ask for the presence and the blessing now in this life, Father, today in Jesus' name. Amen.